we're talking about what growing up in small town America is like for girls and women. And when we think about that, we want to think about how rural communities affect the health and life trajectories of girls as they grow older. And you are part of this conversation. So join us now to share your experiences. The number is 800-642-1234. We're wondering, how do you think growing up in a small town has influenced the trajectory of your life? What do you see that's changed from when you were growing up? Or maybe what remains the same a few years, a few generations later? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Just a few years ago, life expectancy dropped among the least educated white Americans. It happened between 2014 and 2017, and it was especially significant for women who didn't graduate from high school. They were dying on average 5 years earlier than women the generation before them. When our guest saw this data, she thought of the place where she grew up and of her childhood best friend, whose life had turned out to be very different from her own. Monica Potts is a senior politics reporter for 538. She's also the author of The Forgotten Girls, a memoir of friendship and lost promise in rural America. Monica, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Monica, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Clinton, Arkansas. It's a small town of between 2,500 and 2,600 people on the southern edge of the Ozark Mountains in northern Arkansas. It's a really small community, really remote and really religious. So it's a unique place in American life.
Is it so unique that you feel like your experiences there really only apply to people in that area? Or do you see this kind of experience really translating across the country?
Oh, I see it translating across the country. I think part of the reason I wanted to come back here and write about my experiences in this small town is that I see some of the challenges and some of the experiences happening here in Clinton, happening everywhere. There's, small towns are losing a lot of their younger people. Women in small towns are losing life expectancy. It's something that's hitting rural America across the country. So I wanted to sort of use my particular experiences to shed a light on what's happening all across rural America.
You don't have to get too far into your book, The Forgotten Girls, to read that you describe Clinton with the phrase overwhelmingly evangelical and Protestant. What effect did that have on you and in particular, other girls growing up in that community?
Mm-hmm. We were growing up in the 1980s and 1990s here. And during that time, there was a big push for abstinence-only sex education, for a movement called True Love Waits that pushed people to think about, or pushed young girls to think about their marriages down the road. And so we had a really traditional expectations for our upbringing. We thought of ourselves as future wives and mothers first. There was a really strict taboo against having sexual relationships with boyfriends before you got married. And that really kind of changed how we thought about our potential futures. We were supposed to be helpmates for our future husbands. We thought about our careers as secondary to becoming mothers. And I think that kind of traditional, conservative outlook on life affected the way we thought of what our futures could look like, for sure.
Did you see that beyond people who were particularly religious? Was it really community-based?
Yeah, it was really community-based. I myself didn't go to an evangelical church, but I still felt that those expectations were around, and it was the way that we interacted with each other in school. It shaped the way that some of our teachers thought of our futures, and we saw that happening with my science teacher in one class told us that women could do the dishes better because they had an extra layer of fat on their skins, and that being a teacher was a great career for a woman because they could have the same time off as their children and while they were in public schools. So there was this kind of expectation that we would sort of design our lives around being wives and mothers.
The expectation, right? Not the choice, that might be something that a woman might decide for herself is important to her, but that was what you were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. That's what you were supposed to choose. It was really one option. And when you only have one option, it's not really a choice.
Mm-hmm. Monica Potts is an author and a reporter. She wrote a new book about how she sees politics and religion, education and poverty influencing girls growing up in rural America. There's time for your story. Are you a woman who grew up in a small town? Tell us what it was like. You can call in at 800-642-1234. That you can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. I do want to go next, Monica, to a woman named Darcy. This book is about your life, your childhood friend. Darcy's life is also front and center here. Tell us a bit about Darcy and your friendship with her.
Mm-hmm. Darcy and I met in first grade when I moved back to Clinton, which is my hometown, from a smaller town elsewhere in the county. We met right away. She was really a friendly, outgoing girl, and she wanted to be friends with everybody. And I just kind of immediately became friends with her. Even when we didn't share the same class in school, she would come over to my house on weekends. And I grew up with two younger sisters, and we would make potions in the backyard and in our bathroom and make messes, and we would go on expeditions. We had a big atlas that we would look at and dream about going to a bigger town somewhere, like a town that looked like we saw what we saw on TV, with sidewalks and neighborhoods and places to play. When we were teenagers, we thought of going to concerts, and we really just shared this dream of moving out of Clinton, of going to some bigger place and having some big impact on the world. That was our dream. We stayed close through almost all of high school until we started to drift apart.
We'll get back to the differences and the similarities between your life and Darcy's in just a moment, but we are taking calls at 800-642-1234, and we have Kay in Madison who's ready to join us. Hi, Kay.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have lived both sides of the question. When my parents first moved to Madison from Illinois when I was a toddler, we rented a house, which was a great experience, on a mink ranch going towards Oregon. I think it was on Highway 14. So I went to Oregon Public Schools until I was in the fourth grade when we moved into Madison on the west side. And the one thing I carried with me all of my life from my teachers in Oregon, where there was a lot of farm families, one teacher said, if you don't learn proper English and grammar, people are going to think you're a Yahoo. And I am quite frankly appalled today at the way that people have ruined the English language, especially prepositions like I'm excited for something, and him and me.
Kay, thank you so much. And I want to keep the conversation focused on that experience. So I appreciate the fact that you brought that forward. And I also hear Kay speaking to the fact that there are additional expectations for women that you need to seem a certain way to be accepted. And I do think, Monica, that that relates to some of the experiences that you've had too.
Yeah, I think that's right. The expectation that you have to try harder and excel more. And even when you do that, that's just what's expected of you as a woman. You don't necessarily get extra credit or a pat on the back for that. It's just an expectation.
Mm-hmm. Other things, when you think about how women were viewed differently growing up in Clinton, or girls growing up in Clinton, what did it feel like to grow up in that small town?
You know, I think there were aspects of it when we were very young that were kind of magical. And I'm sure that that's true in a lot of places, but we had sort of the run of the place. We could run around the neighborhoods near the school that existed on our own, pretty much. We could take expeditions down the old riverbeds in the summer when they were dry. And we could do a lot of things in nature and in a beautiful setting that I think I didn't fully appreciate when I was younger. When I got a little older, though, and I was in the school with the same people who, you know, had known me my whole lives and maybe knew my whole family, it really could feel suffocating at times, because there was this kind of expectation that you were just following in your parents' footsteps, that their destiny would be your destiny. And that was kind of hard to break out of that. And it started to feel claustrophobic when I got older.
We're talking with Monica Potts about her new book, The Forgotten Girls. It tells her story and considers what it's like for girls to grow up in small towns. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you grow up in a rural town? What was that like for you, going from girl to woman? And how do you think life in small towns affects women and girls? You can call 800-642-1234. There's a line for you there, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue talking with Monica and also learn more about how her friend Darcy's path wound up being very different than Monica's own, along with your story. The conversation continues here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking with author Monica Potts about her book that focuses on girls and women in rural areas of the U.S. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234 about your experiences growing up as a girl in a rural town or maybe living in one now. Monica, back to your childhood friend, Darcy. You mentioned that you began drifting apart kind of in high school and moving on from there. You end up going to college at Bryn Mawr. What did Darcy do after high school?
Darcy experienced a setback before high school ended. She found out she wasn't going to graduate because she had missed too many days. And that was really hard for her to take in. She thought she was still doing well in school. She was still making good grades. And so she ended up going to a community college the following year with a GED, but she didn't really stick with it. She dropped out soon after. She moved back to Clinton. Her life after that had a number of tragic setbacks. She developed a substance use disorder. She had two children with someone that she never married. They had a relationship that both of them say wasn't the best relationship for them. And Darcy ended up later going to prison in her life. And that's really when I met back up with her as an adult, was after she was out of prison and she was working to turn her life around.
What did she tell you about her life? How did she describe it?
She described it as a series of hardships and setbacks, but she was always looking forward to getting past her addictions, getting past her setbacks, and getting her children back. She has two children, and at that time they were living with her mother, who was their legal guardian. And so she was always really trying to look ahead and look forward. But she thought that she had made her peace with living in Clinton, but I think that staying in Clinton, we both felt and she recognized, had been a hardship for her. It hadn't been what she wanted, and it hadn't been what she expected of her life. And I think it set her back to stay in town.
So what do you think made the differences between where you wound up and what Darcy wound up doing?
I think a big difference for me was that my mom, and I talk about this in the book, but she was very determined to see my sisters and I leave Clinton to go to college far away, to try to make our lives elsewhere. She had felt limited by the opportunities presented to her in Clinton, and so she didn't want us to feel those same limits, and she wanted us to feel that the world was available to us and we could do anything we wanted, anywhere we wanted. And I think that that ambition and that support and that push to go somewhere different, to go somewhere new, was really good for me. Going to Bryn Mawr College for me was really a fantastic option because they really provided the support and the opportunities that I needed to thrive. And I was very happy there. I think that made a huge difference than trying to stay somewhere closer that might not have had the resources to really support my needs at that time. I think Darcy didn't have that. Her mom thought she would go to college, but didn't expect her to. And so some of that drive was missing.
You talked about the expectations for just how women should be in these rural communities. How have you seen groups of people, entire towns, treat people, especially girls and women who want to leave for school or for other jobs or really for any reason?
Mm-hmm. You know, I had been hoping that my experience was not what girls were still experiencing here now, so many years later, but I spoke to two graduates from my high school from 2019, and they both had sort of related experiences that were very similar to what I had had 20 years before. They were kind of discouraged from looking at colleges or opportunities out of state or far away. They didn't see some kind of career paths like working in a trade available to them. They thought they were only open to boys. They expected to pick a career that would be compensated less well than what boys would have. And they also expected to first and foremost design their career about around being wives and mothers. And so I think that the expectations and the norms were very much the same even after 20 years.
Monica Potts is an author and reporter. She wrote a new book about girls growing up in rural areas. There's still time for your story. You can share it with us at 800-642-1234. We've actually got Marcus in Milwaukee who wants to join this conversation. Hi, Marcus. What are you wondering?
Hi. So I guess I grew up in the city in Milwaukee. So I guess my question for you is what similarities and differences did you notice how boys were treated as they were coming up as opposed to girls, or the same as girls? And how were women who moved into the community who had grown up somewhere else, how were they treated?
Thank you so much, Marcus. Monica, what do you think about Marcus's question?
It's a really interesting question. I can say that boys growing up were just given a lot more leeway to make mistakes and to kind of figure out who they were, and they didn't have to always strive for perfection or nothing. There was kind of there's just this middle ground that they could trod that I think made it easier for them. I don't really know so much about women who moved into the community, but I can say that women who are considered different or oddballs in any kind of way are treated a little bit like outsiders in the community. So I have seen that.
Mm. Thank you so much, Marcus, for your call. We appreciate it. We're still taking calls at 800-642-1234. Monica, you and Darcy, your best friend, both came from working class families. Tell us about Clinton's economy and also how you see economic factors influencing girls as they grow up.
Mm-hmm. Clinton's economy has never really been super vibrant. It was very agrarian before the 60s and 70s. There were a few factories when I was growing up here. There was a chicken processing plant that supported workers, but also supported the people who raised chickens around the area. There was a manufacturing plant for electrical cords. Both of those businesses have left, and the biggest employer is the hospital, or the two biggest employers are the hospital in the school. So there's just not a super big economy. There aren't a lot of large employers. A lot of the people who would have, you know, previously been subsistence farmers or worked in the factories are working in the low-income service sector. So I think that really sort of limits the resources people have and limits the connections that they have to anywhere else in the country. It becomes harder to learn about a life that's different from your own and learn about other opportunities and be connected to them in a really realistic way. And I think that affects women more than men because blue collar women and women without educations earn substantially less than their male cohort. So
you moved back to Clinton for several years. What played into that decision?
By the time I was working on the book, I was already traveling back here a lot. And I realized that because I had spent so much time of my youth wanting to leave, I didn't fully appreciate the things that I loved about this place. Some of the culture, the natural beauty. I just wanted to come back and experience it in a way that I thought could give me closure and give it the fullest kind of respect that I could. And so I wanted to have a different relationship with my hometown than I had growing up. And I've been back here for 5 years and it's been challenging and interesting. My mom is still here. I have family members still here and my family has deep roots in the community. So it just feels like home and a place nowhere else quite has.
Mm. Yeah, I wonder how that perspective on the town has changed since you moved back, or maybe stayed the same in some ways.
I think ultimately it stayed the same. I think for some time it changed a bit. I was really hopeful when I moved back and I thought I could make a life here and that maybe things had changed a lot and the world had opened up in more ways than it had in the 90s for people who lived here. I think I was surprised by how much hadn't changed, how much of the prevailing attitudes hadn't changed and the prevailing culture and some of the ways that women were expected to live their lives were very much the same in a way that was surprising to me.
Mm-hmm. We talked about Darcy and addiction, which is a universal problem. How is Darcy now? What's she doing?
Darcy has, I'm very happy to say that Darcy has been clean since the end of 2019, kind of the end of the book. She's been stable and working, and she's doing really, really well. So it's been really good to see that change happen.
Incredible. Yeah, that's hard work. You know, you both came from the same place. The whole book is really based on this idea that your lives turned out so wildly differently. After writing it, do you feel like you understand why?
I spent really 5 long years trying to answer that hard, hard question. And I still feel like I don't have a firm answer, but I do feel like one of the things I tried to do was look at each little point in our lives that, if they might have gone differently, would have set us both on different trajectories. And so I think it's a million little things and a million little decisions and differences and happenings that you might not anticipate at the time could have these long-running, long-term effects on your lives, but really do. It's really a whole life story.
We've got just 1 minute left, but I want to give you the opportunity, if a girl is listening to this growing up in a small town, what do you want her to know?
The world is bigger than your town, and it's bigger than people might want it to be for you. The world can be as big as you want it to be.
Excellent. Monica, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been hearing Monica Potts, who's the author of the book, The Forgotten Girls, A Memoir of Friendship and Lost Promise in Rural America. Monica is also a politics reporter for 538, and she talked with us about that new book, about her own experiences, and how dramatically different her best friend's life wound up from hers, and the factors that contributed to that.